This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. 5 o'clock means it's time for Not My Beat. Don't forget, 30 minutes from now, never read the comments, but let's get to it with one of the day's top stories.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not My Beat.
Today we're remixing the term top story. There's no huge news item, but one of the best stories that we read, like physical articles or digital articles, was one by our pal Ben Standig in The Athletic about what the Commanders can do to catch the Eagles. We've been talking about it a lot this week, and I think broader terms, but Ben really got into some cool specifics, really put the thought and effort into it. So with that, we welcome Standig to the show to talk about it. Ben, what's up, my guy? How are you?
Craig, I'm doing great. Finally getting to chill out a little bit after the season, but we got more stuff coming up right around the corner.
Indeed, we were just talking with our last guest Dan Pizzuta about this. How like the NFC Championship game is a terrible place to go out. You don't have any kind of extended break, and you don't win the whole thing. So you're just like, oh, okay, finally caught my. Never mind. There's no breath to catch. The combine's 2 weeks away. But you, I think, did something in a very specific way that was really cool with this article in terms of we think, oh, what do you got to do to catch the Eagles? You got to improve here. And you really looked at it from like more of a matchup standpoint in some ways. Of course, there's the talent deficits that you address. But the part that caught my eye that I thought was a really interesting part is when you talked about how the Eagles won the Super Bowl without blitzing and that they didn't really blitz in the NFC Championship game that much either. It's one of Jaden Daniels' fewest blitzed games. And I would think that's something that a lot of other teams will look at considering how good Jaden was against the blitz in 2024. Why was that something that you wanted to include, and what else do you think is important about that matchup against Philly, and then what other teams might be able to learn from Philly facing this Washington offense with Jaden and Cliff returning next year?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, obviously Mahomes, that was just a very un-Mahomes-like performance in the Super Bowl, and Philadelphia went to the extreme by not sending extra pressure. They were fortunate that they didn't have to because their line did such a good job, and they were able to put seven in coverage. We always saw the stats over the years. Mahomes, you know, what do? If you don't blitz him, he's going to tear you up. But if you do blitz him, he's even better. And then, you know, you just recall, you know, when Washington played Detroit, you know, Jaden Daniels' numbers against the blitz were really, really good. And he, you know, in general against the blitz, he's been pretty good. You know, he's got a really, you know, good feel for what the defenses are showing him at the line of scrimmage. He obviously can make plays with his arms and his legs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so it got me kind of just thinking, well, wait a minute. If the Eagles just did this to that extent, and obviously they got to play Jaden Daniels twice a year, you know, what could that look like? So that's when I kind of looked to see, wait, where – I mean, I knew that they had blitzed a ton in the comeback, in Washington's comeback win, which is abnormal for Philly, and less so in the other two games. And, yeah, they were the two lowest percentage blitzes Washington faced this year. I would say that the very first game against the Eagles, probably Jaden's worst. I mean, I sort of throw out week one, whatever you think of that. It's probably the game where you're like, yeah, he looked a little more uncomfortable. And I think he looked fine in the NFC Championship game, but at the same time, you know, it wasn't like there wasn't superhero Jaden, and you know they did have the four turnovers and you know all that stuff. So and there's some other stats that kind of emphasize just how much Philly was hampering him. They also, like, in the three games he threw four interceptions, and he had six in the other 20 games, or 17 games, including the playoffs, right? So, you know, clearly the Eagles were getting to him more than other teams. Eagles have the best defense, but the point would be, well, do other teams look at that and say, hey, wait a minute, when you blitz Jaden Daniels less, that seemed to be one way to slow him down, and that's maybe something that Washington, you know, between Jaden Daniels and Kingsbury, you know, got to figure out, hey, if teams make this adjustment, you know, what do we do?
Yeah, definitely. And Jaden will obviously continue to grow. Like, that's the thing that's hard to remember because he was so good. It's like, yeah, guess what? He's going to get better, theoretically. And even if he doesn't get that much better, like, he played at a top five MVP kind of level for most of the season. So that would be okay with me as well. When you look at the other parts of this article, I think it's the more obvious stuff that most people know. You just got into it at a deeper depth. And starting with just nailing the draft, we know that Philadelphia has been unbelievable in the draft. So many of their key contributors are draft picks. And so before we get to what Washington does in 2025, I think it's worth double clicking on some guys from 2024. And not necessarily just like, yeah, Ben Sinnott's got to play better, a guy that had some opportunities and you'd hope to grow in year two. But what do we know about the progress that was made, say, like by a guy like Dominique Hampton, who basically got a redshirt year that still might be a future starter for this team or might not? We just don't know. What about some of those under the radar guys and kind of what you heard as you checked in on them throughout the year and then ultimately kind of did your summary by year end to figure out where everybody was going into 2025?
Yeah, you know, look, I mean, I think you're right. Dominic Hampton was essentially inactive almost every single week. Jordan McGee, their fifth-round linebacker, injuries. He was, you know, and obviously with Bobby Wagner and Luvu there, you know, there wasn't much room for him to play anyway. You know, the team still likes these guys and their potential, but, you know, ultimately you can practice all you want, but until you get out of the field and really do it, it's hard to know, you know, how you're going to perform, you know, in the moment and all that kind of deal. So I think that, you know, the jury's out to that extent. And I think that's the thing about this draft class in general. Obviously, it's an A-plus draft because of Jaden Daniels, even if they had drafted you and me in some of these rounds. Like that's going to win you the draft. Then, of course, Mikey Sanders still looks like a guy for sure. Now, Brandon Coleman and Johnny Newton played, but I don't know that we can sit here and definitively say too much about them based on this year. I mean, Newton, I think you got to give him a bit of a pass because he dealt with those two ankle injuries and that really hampered his whole offseason. And Coleman was fine. It's just a matter of, do they think he's a left tackle or a right tackle or needs to go inside? So other than the top two guys, you know, everybody else, it's like, all right, let's see. And then, you know, you mentioned Sinnott, Luke McCaffrey, and then everybody behind them. It's even more than just let's see. It's like, okay, are they going to get more involved this year? Because they were somewhat involved this year, but not enough to say what their future is. I mean, McCaffrey, if he had a more involvement this year, you know, we could just almost pencil him in to start because there's no other receivers on the roster except for him and Terry McLaurin. And yet, I don't think any of us are going right now, boy, they've got two receivers now. Who's going to be their third? I think it's like they need a few more guys, and we'll see where McCaffrey fits in. So I think that's kind of how I'm looking at this whole draft class.
That makes sense. Ben Stanig with us here on the Hoffman Show, specifically to tight end and middle linebacker. How much of the decisions on Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner do you think are being made in a vacuum about those two guys and like what they meant and just going, well, look, we're not going to pay you like top market, but you guys played really well. We want to pay you your market value because we want to keep you versus we're going to let the market kind of dictate. Like, I guess another way of asking it, Ben, that's maybe a little bit more direct is like how willing are they to play games with those two guys and, you know, let them, go test the market, come back to us. We got Jordan McGee and Ben Sinnott waiting in reserve versus just like, no, those two guys are two leaders. We're not going to mess around. We need to bring them back.
I'm kind of the latter. Like, you know, they really had good years, not just on the field, but, you know, in the locker room and that whole deal. You know, Wagner's value, it's not even just being the captain of the defense, so to speak. Like, you know, he's like Jaden Daniels' big brother, and I would do whatever I can to make Jaden Daniels as comfortable as possible, including bring back some of the guys that were big for him. This is pure speculation. Like, I think Ertz, because of the Cliff Kingsbury connection, that's kind of what brought him here in the first place. I think to me, and he said he wants to play, that one seems a little bit more straightforward, you know, in terms of playing and, you know, money, I imagine they could figure it out. The Wagner one, I think, is a little more interesting because, you know, he's a West Coast guy. He did come here because, you know, he knew Ken Norton and Dan Quinn from his days in Seattle, and that was a part of the reason why he wanted to come here. And clearly he had a really good year, and this team looks like it's a lot of fun, but, you know, he's his own agent. He does not have an agent. So, like, he is really looking at this purely from, the personal part of this is definitely, I would imagine, even more so than the business side. Not that he's not going to make himself the best deal he thinks he can, but, you know, he's really, you know, his thoughts and feelings are really into it. There's nobody, like, sort of talking him into, hey, you know, I know you want to go home, but these guys will give you this. If he wants to go home back West Coast, then, you know, assuming there's an opportunity for him, he may very well do that. But, I think bringing those guys back is pretty significant. By the way, for Ertz, I think part of it is, like, I mean, Bates is a free agent, but also a blocking. And I don't know what Ben Sinnott, which one he is. I think I asked on the head guy Logan Paulson with me, my podcast the other day. I think I even said, like, okay, well, based on what Sinnott showed you, who would he replace?
And Logan went neither, probably.
Kind of. It was sort of like, yeah, he's not big enough to be Bates, but he didn't show enough as a pass catcher. So, yeah, I think that's part of the rub is, like, I don't even know what that guy is. So
right.
I kind of think they need to bring Ertz back. But you're keeping your fingers crossed he stays healthy. That was a rare thing he did this year, staying healthy for the whole season.
For sure. And the other thing with Bobby that you mentioned, like, he's his own agent in the West Coast and, like, okay, well, why did he come here in the first place beyond DQ and Norton? He was wrapping up his stuff at Howard. And I believe he graduated. So I do wonder if that, like, very human element of, like, okay, my thing that I kind of was coming to DC for, that I could now do some of these classes and things that I was doing in person, that's no longer a factor. Do I want to stay here? Now, the relationship with Jaden and the relationships he has in the building certainly could impact. And, you know, plus you guys gave him the good guy award as the best guy in the locker room. And how could you pass up a chance to repeat at that? But it is just something that's worth mentioning. Okay, to the draft this year. We're joined by Ben Standick, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic. Wrote a great article for their website about how the Commanders can close the gap to the Eagles. Some specifically, like we talked about with some of the game plan specific stuff against Philadelphia. But now the more generic, just talent gap and where they need to close it. When you look at the 2025 draft, Ben, and what Washington needs to do to close that gap, how did you examine that through the lens of catching up to the Eagles?
Well, look, I mean, I think we know that Washington's core needs. Obviously, free agency comes first, so we'll see if they get aggressive in that realm, or even if they just sign sort of the level of players they brought in last year to help out, whether that's edge rusher or the edge defender. You know, but Washington, you know, terrible against the run all year. And, you know, looking at some data during the season, teams were just gashing them on the outside and before contact. So, you know, clearly that's a spot of need. The offensive line, there is a world where I could see them bringing back everybody. They decide, hey, Andrew Wiley, we can save some decent money if we cut him off the cap, but at the same time, then we have to go get somebody else, and his cost isn't that much for a starter. But then, you know, what is Brandon Coleman? If they think he's a left tackle, then okay, then you are kind of set. If you don't, then, you know, now you have to shuffle things around. And, you know, I guess the bottom line is, I would imagine an offensive lineman is a priority, if not, you know, just a flat out tackle. I think, you know, receiver/playmaker on offense, whether that could be at running back, needs to happen. I mean, you could possibly bring back the same receiver group, but, you know, it's a lot that it's just still very reliant on Jaden Daniels. Other than McLaurin, nobody showed themselves to be a true, like, you know, playmaker. So they need an upgrade there, and, you know, just more speed in general. Again, we could even go through it further than that because they've got, you know, roughly 30 free agents, so they do have a bunch of holes and depth as well. But I think those are the key spots. The one rub is for the draft. This is not to be considered a very good draft for the receiver spot, which is bizarre, because it's been like receiver every year is typically the go-to spot, no matter where you pick in the draft. And this year there might be only like three guys going in round one that I'm based on what I'm seeing early on. And so that could be a problem if you're waiting for the draft for that. But otherwise, defensive line looks to be pretty deep this year, so they should be in good position to get one of those edge guys.
Yeah, I do think that the receiver position is interesting this year. Logan and I did our big like draft preview this morning in terms of like what does the draft look like position by position on the biggest possible picture. And you're definitely right. Like the top end guys. I mean, last year there were three guys that were like the fourth, fifth, and sixth best prospects arguably in the entire draft. And this year, you definitely do not have that. But there's some depth a little bit later. And there also are some bigger-bodied receivers in this draft, which I think is an interesting quirk that could be very appealing to Washington as they look to figure out their receiving room.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The other big area, obviously, that we're looking at is the lines of scrimmage. And that's the last thing that you wrote about. And again, you should check out the full article for all of Ben's thoughts on this. Well crafted in written form in The Athletic. But the lines of scrimmage are kind of the obvious. We just talked about the offensive line. To me, the defensive line is tremendously fascinating. First, what do they do with John Allen? Two, I think that they definitely could pursue Osa Digizua because he's got the Dan Quinn connection and he is tremendously fit for what they want to do defensively. There's obviously the Myles Garrett thing hanging out there. There's Josh Sweat. There's Khalil Mack. Like it is, and by the way, it's a stupidly deep edge class in the draft. So there's a lot of options. Do you have any early inclinations or any strong feelings on where they could go or should go, specifically along the defensive line?
Yeah, well, and to your point of the Dan Quinn connection, right? I think DeMarcus Lawrence basically missed most last year with a knee injury. Yep. he'll be back. He's an older guy, so this is more akin to bringing in Zach Ertz. But this is a guy that's been a Pro Bowler, and maybe they think, hey, we can, you know, we know what he's about, the work ethic, and we think we can get more out of him. So that'll be maybe a more or less expensive way to go. You know, I guess, you know, the question is going to be, the broad question is, how aggressive is Adam Peters going to be this offseason in free agency, knowing that they've got Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal for another couple of years, so you can take advantage of that savings. Plus, obviously, they just went to the NFC Championship game. Do you think, you know, does your sober assessment tell you that this is something, you know, they can sustain this type of playoff contender level, or does he see it as more of a, well, we've got Jaden, but other pieces we still need to keep building because we still need to just been doing this for 1 year as a group. Based on all of that, I do think that, like, the defensive end in the draft to me feels like a logical choice because of the fact that there are a lot of different options for them. Whereas, you mentioned the defensive tackle, if Allen is gone, that could be a way to go. I haven't looked at enough of the offensive linemen in free agency, but, you know, how do they assess that? I can imagine them spending, I guess what I'm saying is, spending, like, say, one or two guys, maybe a little bit more than what they did last year with free agents. But where are you doing it? It seems like defensive end is a spot where maybe you don't have to do that because of the draft. And I will just say this. I think, look, we all get it. You got to build up your offensive line. No argument there. And you got to help protect Jaden. But of the two lines, I kind of think the offensive line, if it stayed together, knowing Cosme's going to miss some games, that one feels a little more stable. The defensive line, you know, Allen could go. Dorrance Armstrong was fine, but it wasn't really a breakout kind of a year. He had less sacks than he did the first two seasons, his last two seasons with Dallas, despite playing more. And, you know, Daron Payne's obviously been underwhelming after his contract, and all their other defensive ends like Fowler and Farrell are free agents. So I think they really need to get a young piece there on the edge to go with Johnny Newton, hopefully, and be your core. So to me, draft defensive end and then sign your other guys makes more sense. But that's, you know, as we know, February 13th, let's see where we are in a few weeks.
Of course. I think that's a great point because the stability along an offensive line is a game changer. So if you can keep relatively the same group together in the same scheme for the second straight year and stack more starts, and obviously we'll see how long it takes for Cosme to get back. But the improvement you would hope in year two for Brandon Coleman is going to help improve that line. So if you just do nothing but have continuity and have your third round pick from last year, who, by the way, will be entering his seventh year, I believe it is, of organized football, get better. Like, that's a pretty, that's not an inexcusable offensive line improvement plan. Defensively, it's a totally different story. And I'm of some mind, Ben, to just say, why not both? Like, if you tell me they sign a guy in free agency and also spend a high pick on edge, oh, God, we have two good edge rushers. Not that you necessarily want to do what you did with Young and Sweat in terms of needing to pay them both at the same time. But if you do one free agent and one, and whether that's Khalil Mack super short term or Josh Sweat, 2-3 years down the line, and one young guy, like, there are worse things you can have than a bunch of really good guys to get after the passer, especially in the NFC, especially when you're looking at trying to penetrate that Eagles offensive line, which is as good as any in football, and knowing Detroit's out there and San Francisco and some of the other great lines, and not to mention what that can do for you against the run.
No, I agree. And look, as I said, I think Armstrong was fine last year. Maybe he is a guy that's better off, but in Dallas he was largely, A, he had Micah Parsons to play off of, but B, he wasn't really a down-in, down-out starter. Maybe there is a world where you get more, you know, less is more, you know, play him a little bit less and maybe get the same or equal production. And then also, like you said, if it is a vet like a Khalil Mack, that's probably not going to be more than 2 years. So if you do still draft a guy in the first round, you can definitely play him, you know, a bunch of snaps now and then get him ready for the future. And that's part of what the Eagles have been doing because they've been drafting so well. They constantly have a surplus at all these positions, so they always seem to have somebody ready to step in. So, yeah, I will never object to a team drafting multiple defensive linemen in particular, but offensive as well. You have backups, that's fine. Those groups are just way too important. It's going to be interesting to see how they spend their money. By the way, I think the running back class to me is really interesting with Washington.
Yeah.
You know, because you can keep Robinson and Eckler, but some of these, there may be a cheap talent that gives you more speed, and I think they're going to need that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, both guys are entering the final years of their deals. Eckler's taking up a 2-year deal, and Brian's on the last year of his rookie contract. And this running back class is stacked. There's a couple of guys at the top, obviously Ashton Jeanty, the headliner, but there's also a ton of dudes in the third round of any, like, you want a power back, you want a receiving back, like, it's there. So I think it's a great call as well. Ben Standing writing about all of it and more in The Athletic. Ben, thank you so much for your time on the radio, sir. And we'll either talk to you next week or I'll see you in 2 weeks in Indy.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it.
That is Ben Standing with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, a very important for Anthony, he doesn't know this yet, TikTok update. Very, very important TikTok update. And never read the comments.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.